Blog Talk Radio.
So if you want to make six figures, you can't just be talking about you want to make six figures. You hear what I'm telling you tonight? If you do the three things I tell you to do tonight, I guarantee you, whatever it is you want to do in life, you'll be able to do. You will be able to accomplish whatever you want to academically, financially, relationally, whatever. So three things. All right, I'm going to tell you the story. I got to get out of here. And the story is about, you guys have probably heard about this before. It was a young man who, you know, he wanted to make a lot of money, and so he went to this guru, right? He told the guru, you know, I want to be on the same level you are. And so the guru said, if you want to be on the same level I'm on, I'll meet you tomorrow at the beach at 4 a.m. He liked the beach. I said, I want to make money. I don't want to swim. Guru said, if you want to make money, I'll meet you tomorrow. 4 a.m. So the young man got there at 4 a.m. He all ready to rock and roll, got on a suit. He should have worn shorts. The old man grabs his hand and said, how bad do you want to be successful? He said, real bad. He said, walk on out in the water. So he walks out into the water. Watch this. When he walks out into the water, it goes waist deep. But he's like, this guy crazy. Adrian, he's like, I want to make money. He got me out here swimming. I didn't ask to be a lifeguard. I want to make money. He got me in. So he said, come out a little further. Walked out a little further. Then he had it right around this area, the shoulder area. So this old man crazy. He's making money, but he crazy. He said, come on out a little further. He came out a little further. Was right at his mouth. My man like, I'm about to go back in here. This guy is mine. So the old man said, I thought you said you wanted to be successful. He said, I do. He said, walk a little further. He came, dropped his head in, held him down, hold him down. My man getting scratching, holding him down. I got you. I know you brushed it out, but I got you. He had him held down. I need you for an illustration. He had him held down just before my man was about to pass out. He raised him up. He said, I got a question for you. Somebody answer the question for me. He said, when you were underwater, what did you want to do? Lee, I'm looking for a different word, Jordan. What's that word? Said I wanted to breathe. He told the guy, he said, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. I don't know how many of y'all got asthma here today, but if you ever had an asthma attack before, you're short of breath, SOB, shortness of breath, you're wheezing. The only thing you try to do is get some air. You don't care about no basketball games. You don't care what's on TV. You don't care about nobody calling you. You don't care about a party. The only thing you care about when you're trying to breathe is to get some fresh air. That's it. And when you get to the point where all you want to do is be successful as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. And I'm here to tell you, number one, that most of you say you want to be successful, but you don't want it bad. You just kind of want it. You don't want it badder than you want a party. You don't want it as much as you want to be cool. Most of you don't want success as much as you want to sleep. Some of you love sleep more than you love success. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're going to be successful, you've got to be willing to give up sleep. You've got to be willing to work off for 3 hours of sleep, 2 hours. If you really want to be successful, some days you will have to stay up 3 days in a row. Because if you go to sleep, you might miss the opportunity to be successful. That's how bad you got to want it. You got to go days without, listen to me, you got to want to be successful so bad that you forget to eat. Beyonce said once she was on the set doing her thing, 3 days had gone by, she forgot she didn't eat. Because she was engaged. I'll never forget when 50 Cent was doing his movie, I did a little research on 50, and 50 said that when he wasn't doing the movie, he was doing the soundtrack. And they said, when do you sleep, 50? Sleep, he said, sleep. Sleep is for those people who are broke. I don't sleep. Said, I got an opportunity to make a dream become a reality. Football players, how many football players? Got anybody like football in here? Raise your hand. Anybody like football? Emmitt Smith. I used to be a Cowboys fan before they did my boy Tom Landry wrong. I used to be a Cowboy fan. And watch this, there was a commercial. Emmitt Smith had won his first Super Bowl, and he had this commercial when he was lifting weights. I don't know if you saw the commercial when he was lifting, and he said, Emmitt said, you know what? I won the Super Bowl, so I can rest now. He was doing his bench press. So he said, I won the Super Bowl, so I can rest now. So he throws up about 325, boom, and he rests for about 2 seconds. And he, boom, boom. already won a Super Bowl. He said, I think I'm going to take a rest. And he rests for how long? 1 second. Most of you won't be successful because when you're studying and you get tired, you quit. And I'm here to tell you today, if you got somebody came to my office the other day crying, I said, look, don't cry to give up. Cry to keep going. Don't cry to quit. You already in pain. You already hurt. Get a reward from it. Don't go to sleep until you succeed. Listen to me. I'm here to tell you today that you can come here, you can jump up, you can do flips, you can be excited when we give away money. But listen to me, you'll never be successful until I don't have to give you a dime to do what you do. You won't be successful until you say, I don't need that money. Because I got it in here. So listen to me. Emmitt Smith said this at the end of the commercial. Emmitt Smith said, all men are created equal. Some work harder in preseason. I'm going to say it again because you might have missed it. All men are created equal. Some work harder in preseason. So that means that there are some people who are going to see the professor, going to see the TA. And even when the professor says, I don't meet with you, my TA meets with you, you say, I don't want to talk to your TA. I don't pay the TA. I pay you to teach me. So you're going to have to find some time to meet me. If I got to meet you at the mall, if I got to meet you at your house, you are going to see me. Listen to me. All men are created equal. Some work hard in preseason. When I went to college, guys were way smarter than me. 4.0s, 3.0s. They went to the Ivy League high schools, came to Oakwood from these great high schools. Most of them are not doing what I'm doing. Why? Because it's not about where you come from. It's about heart. You come to a place where, you know, being smart ain't enough. You got to have heart. That's number one. Watch number two. Number two. Catch number two. I wrote it down. I wanted to make sure you got it. It says, to be, watch this. We're talking about sacrifice now. The important thing is this. You're right in why I'm saying it, because I only have about three more minutes. Listen to me. The most important thing is this. To be able at any moment to sacrifice what you are for what you will become. That's the number two thing. You got to catch that one. To be able to, listen to me, at any moment. Some of you, you can make sacrifices when Monday Night Football is not on. You can make a sacrifice. But when the game come on, for some reason, you just attached to it. For some of you, when your favorite show come on, you can make sacrifices on Sunday when there ain't nothing going on. But when your favorite show comes on Monday, bam, some of you, you focus until the phone ring, and then you like, I got to answer. If I don't answer the phone, I'm going to die. I'm saying to you today that there are some of you, if you give up your cell phone, you would be successful. But your cell phone is more important to you than your success. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to hurt somebody. Some of you need to give up your cell phone because the time you spend on your cell phone could be used for your success. The time you could be using to be successful, you're using it on the cell. And the cell phone is not bringing you nothing but a bill. And somebody has told you you couldn't live without it. I'm talking about going deep now, giving up stuff. Watch what it says. To be able at any moment to sacrifice what we are for what we could be. I don't do well in math. You're right. You ain't never studied. I'm not good in writing because you have never written before. But I dare you to fail in writing for a whole year to see if you can get to the end. I dare you to fail. I dare you to take that same class over and over again. I dare you to stop dropping classes like you saw. Always want to give up. I'm dropping. Why are you dropping? I'm so grateful that the slaves didn't drop and quit. Say, I'm just going to stop. I'm a slave. I'm just going to be a slave. I'm going to quit. Listen to me. The slaves said, we will live because one day we will become. We won't always be slaves. So today, although we're slaves, we're going to act like we're free, and one day our children will be free. If the slaves would have just said, we quit, we give up, we would have died in the middle passage. But some slaves said, I don't care what we go through, we're going to survive this. 400 years of slavery, we're going to get through this. And you can't get through it. 1825. You can't get through a writing class, and you got tutor after tutor, resource after resource. The problem is you ain't never felt no pain before. You're soft. It's a soft generation. You quit on everything. Our people did not quit. Harriet Tubman not only made it, she went back and got some more. She said, you know what? I made it, but I'm going to walk all. Listen to me. Shh. not ride the bus. I'm gonna walk all the way back down to the south to get some more. And you quitting on 1825? Now watch this. You quit after you listen to me. You get a sleeping bag and you wait for them. You wait for the first WIA instructor to come in and you come out your sleeping bag. I need help. You quit after you do that. You quit after you had, listen to me, a WRA party. I'm having a party. Everybody come over. I got food, everything. And let them get over there. Let it be all the best writers. All right, I fooled y'all. I want to have a writing party. I'm serious. You quit and you ain't even tried yet. Last one, I'm sorry. Last one. Listen to me. Pain is temporary. It may last for a minute, or an hour, or a day, or even a year. But eventually, it will subside. And something else will take its place. If I quit, however, it will last forever. Listen to me. I'm telling you as I leave. I was homeless for 2.5 years. And the problem with most of you, you never felt no pain before. Y'all spoiled. Some of y'all spoiled. Just bottom line. Your parents have done everything for you. You never had to do nothing for yourself. You're spoiled. We're going to keep it real tonight. Some of you are spoiled brats. Every time you ever got in trouble, somebody in your house got you out of it. Every time you've done something you're not supposed to do, people say, Eric, your mother's a tyrant. You're right. She kicked me out. You're right. She's mean, but she developed a man because she put me out there and said, you're going to have to grow up. And some of you have never learned to grow up. And so every time something get hard, you quit, you call mama. I dare you to take a little pain. I dare you. I dare you not to go home. Somebody said, I don't go home, I feel bad. Go through it. You ain't going to die at the end of pain and success. You're not going to die because you're feeling a little pain. I'm not eating like I eat at home. That's how you're about to go to the next level, because if you keep eating like you ate at home, you will keep being a boy or a girl. It's time to become man, woman. So don't worry about a little pain. My greatest asset is I was homeless, so I can't feel a whole lot of pain. I've already been alone. There's not a whole lot of hurt I can feel on a little paper, on a little test. So I leave you. Listen to me. We have gotten to a point where it's midterms and we're moving forward. The days of you getting money, I'm not saying we're quitting, but I'm saying a day has got to go from external to internal. You have to give it everything you got. No more TV, no more parties, no more plans. If you have a 4.0, what you need to be doing is studying. Get off the phone. I'm sorry, I'm not available until the end of this year. No, I'm for real. You reached the right number, but you called me at the wrong time. Call me back January 1st. I'm about to get busy now. Huh? I want you to have a countdown of your own and say when the countdown is over, where the real, watch me, because when I was homeless, I knew something was wrong. I knew that wasn't the best of me. And one day I said, will the real Eric Thomas please stand up? Will the real Eric Thomas please stand up? Stop being this high school dropout. Stop giving up. Stop sleeping on the street. Stop walking up and down Finkel Avenue like you ain't got nuts and get your GED. Stop being afraid to take a test. Stop being afraid to go to college because your daddy didn't go and your mama didn't go. Stop being afraid and be the best Eric Thomas you can be. But listen to me, it's going to be hard. It took me 12 years to get a 4-year degree, but I got it. And guess what? On a degree, it don't have dates. So if it took you 4 and it took me 12, it don't show up nowhere. But I'm exactly where I wanted to be because I realized I got to commit my very being to this thing. I gotta breathe it, I gotta eat it, I gotta sleep it. And until you get there, you will never be successful in life. But once you get there, I guarantee you, the world is yours. So work hard, and you can have whatever it is you want. Thank you guys for your time.
What up? It's Pete Richardson, the owner and sole creator of Taking Absolutely Respectfully, and I'm coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio. And right there was a little 14-minute segment by my man, Mr. Eric E.T., the hip-hop preacher, Eric Thomas. And if that don't give you jitterbugs, goosebumps, whatever it is, if that don't get you going, I don't know what it is going to get you going. Maybe there's one thing that can get you going. If that don't get you going, that's just if somebody literally came over there and slapped you in the face. But, hey, I do not condone violence. Yeah, today is December 22nd. It's about 11:15 a.m. 3 days before Christmas. But if you celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve, which the majority of some people do when they open gifts up under the Christmas tree, then Christmas is just 48 hours away from you. But I got a little jokey joke for the guys out there. Christmas is about Jesus, right? Christmas is a celebration of Christ being born. They say he was born on this day and all this. Don't get me wrong, I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus, and without God, I would not be here. But I say we really don't know which day he was born. So, with that being said, since we don't really know which day, so for an extra 50% off, don't really seem too bad if times is rough, right? I mean, I'm just saying, hey, who knows he wasn't born on the 26th. So if I got this electronic that's $100 on the 24th or 23rd, but if I wait until the 26th, it's $40. The logical thing to do is just wait till it's $40. Just, hey, tell my kids, hey, I'm the real Santa Claus. But anyways, yeah, that's a little jokey joke I thought I wanted to share with you guys. But once again, P. Richardson, the owner of Soul Creative Saving Athletes, respectfully coming to you live on Blog Talk Network today. I'm supposed to be having a guy call into the show. His name is Eric Ward. He actually played here at Texas Tech. All-American receiver, ended up getting picked up by the Tennessee Titans in May of last year for free agent. So he's going to be calling in. Straight from Los Angeles, came here to lovely Texas from a low-poverty area in Los Angeles. And for you guys, what's going on now with the Ferguson and Mike Brown, Eric Garner, there's a lot of black youth that's getting killed right now, not because of it's a race issue, but it's really a police brutality issue. And where he's from, he's actually from one of those high-profile crime areas. There's a gang I was just watching earlier on TV. It's got called MS-13 or something like that. You know, that, like, it's real serious out there. But this guy beat the eye, came to college. Now this guy also has a college degree and also a master's degree. So he's supposed to be calling in. And, of course, as soon as he calls in, we're gonna go strictly into the interview. But right now I got on the line Mr. Stephen Ivey, youth minister right up out of the Arkansas. Arkansas, if you guys don't really know what that stands for. And he's going to call and bless the show. What's up, Mr. Ivey? You there?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm here. How you doing?
Oh, doing well, man. How was your weekend?
I was pretty good. Pretty good.
That's long, what's up, man. Good. That's what's up. You say it was long?
Long, yes, sir.
I hear you, man. Tell us about it a little bit. Go ahead and share with the audience what you was up to this weekend. I can tell you were doing something positive.
Say what now?
I said, I could tell you were doing something positive. You could share with the audience, if you like, what you were doing this weekend.
Oh, man, just a whole bunch of, a lot, between church work and music and stuff like that, man, just running, cleaning. This week was a lot more knick-knack stuff.
I heard you love knick-knack stuff. You know, it's just little things. It's the little things that eventually turns into the big things. Well, all right, my brother, I'm going to go ahead and give you the flow. Just go ahead and share the message with the audience.
Cool. Well, just real quick, there's a scripture in Romans that says, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called to his, according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. All things work together. And, I don't know if we've talked about this yet, maybe we have, but wanted to just share real quick about using all of your adversities and everything that comes your way, using them as building blocks and stepping stones. truth is that whatever happens to you, at some point in growing up, you look back at whatever has happened to you, negative or good, and everything is a learning lesson, especially the bad times. There have been many times that bad things have happened, whether I made a stupid decision or whether something bad just happened. And I can look back to those situations and I see the lesson that I learned, the maturity that came out of it. There's a story about a goat. This goat was on his farmer's land, and ended up falling into a ditch. How he got into the ditch, we don't know. He stayed in the ditch, and the farmer tried everything to get him out. It just couldn't happen. And the I mean, and I said the ditch, I meant a well. It was a well. And the farmer, the well was too narrow for the farmer to get in and climb down to lift them out. And so the farmer resolved that I'm just going to, you know, bury this goat because there's no way I can get him out. So the farmer starts to throw dirt inside the well to close it up and ultimately bury this goat. Well, something crazy was happening. While this farmer was taking the dirt and throwing it in the well, the goat, every time the dirt hit him, would shake it off and pat it under his feet. Shake it off, pat it under his feet.
Mm.
Before they knew it, the goat had shook so much of it off and put it under his feet to the point where he had built for himself a platform to climb out of that well. Using your adversity, I got another, story for you. There was two people, black couple and a white couple that lived next door to each other, and this white couple was very prejudiced. So every day, what this white couple or this Caucasian couple would do, they would take the manure from their dog, and they would just throw it over the fence. Every day, manure. Take it, throw it over the fence. Take it, throw it over the fence. Just to be ugly and mean. One day, the black couple goes over to Caucasian couple's door, knocks on the door, and you think there'd be a big confrontation. And it wasn't a big confrontation, Pete. All this black couple did was gave the Caucasian family some roses. And when asked, why did you give them roses? They said, well, I use the manure that they threw over every day to put into my garden and build my flower bed. So, again, it just goes back to that point of using bad and using bad situations and things like that to build you up and make you strong. Because, honestly, manure is a great fertilizer to help you grow, whether we believe it or not. Problems and issues really are, when we shake them off and put them under our feet, they really do elevate us if we get past them and we don't just let the dirt stay on us. And so my talk today is you go through something bad or you have issues, man, pat it off, shake it off, pat it under your feet. Use the bad situations as fertilizer to help you grow.
Ooh, yeah, there you have it right there. Use that fertilizer, put it up under your feet, and let it grow. That's two great stories right there, Mr. Ivy. That was great, beneficial right there. So you heard Mr. Ivy. Whatever you're going through, whatever it is that might, whatever the complications may be, whatever somebody's coming at you disrespectful like that, just take that hate and put it behind you, put it up under you, and use that as a platform for you to be great. Well, all right, Mr. Ivy. It's really been my pleasure. And I'll talk to you tomorrow, my man, at the same time.
All right. Talk to you later, man.
All right. My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too.
Oh, yeah, that was great words right there by Youth Minister Mr. Stephen Ivey, right up out of Arkansas. Right now I got my fiance, Mrs. Sabrina Hewlett is about to give you guys the weather.
Good morning. It is partially cloudy in Lubbock at 50 degrees with a high of 57 degrees and a low of 36. And wind of 17 miles per hour and humidity of 50%. So you want to keep your coat close, especially for this evening. And most of all, stay blessed. And back to you, Mr. Richardson.
Most importantly, stay blessed right there. Oh, you did a great job right there, Miss Hewlett. I like that right there. Back to you, Mr. Richardson. But okay, boo. Yeah, okay, yeah. Just like you said, if you're out here in the LBK, some people call it the hub city, you want to keep your coat close. And that brings me to my message of today. And I had this interesting conversation with this gentleman whom I seem to me and him kind of bonded soon as we got to talking. It seemed like we had a lot in common. So first and foremost, and you know what's crazy? How when you start to talk to somebody and then, especially you're in an environment where there's a lot of interactions, there's a lot of interruptions, there's a lot of not just one-on-one time with the person. Somebody told me years ago that sometimes the Lord, he works in mysterious ways, right? And then it's like, so, like, say, for example, if you are a custodian at the Disney World, which I used to be, and you're consulting with one of your co-workers, and you guys are having an intimate, deep conversation that's about wisdom, about knowledge, and you guys are usually interrupted every second, just boom, 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 every second, but you guys are happening to have a 15-minute conversation without any interruptions. So which means somebody told me that guy working in mysterious ways because there's a message that he's trying to he's actually talking to you through that person, in which there was why there was no interruptions. So this brings me to my point. I was talking to this guy, and he told me, man, everybody has their own story. Everybody has their own journey, right? And I'm just listening. I'm just because I seek first to be. First, I seek to understand, and then I seek to be understood. That's my favorite quote. First, I seek to understand, then I try to be understood. But the gentleman was just talking to me, and I was just so intrigued with his story. I didn't know if I was going to share it with you guys. But he said ever since he's been 8 years old, he knew he was going to be something great. He said ever since he was 8 years old, he knew he was going to be something great. And I asked him, I was like, how did you know, man? Like, you only 8 years old. And I was like, were your parents really successful and you grew up with it in your household? He was like, no. I was like, was people in your family successful? And they, like, you got a couple doctors, lawyers in your family? And he was like, no. I was like, so how did you know? He said, man, ever since I've been 4 years old, I remember signing up into preschool, and he's like, ever since then, whenever I left, I was with my mom and I was with my uncle. He said, whenever they pulled out of the parking lot after signing up for preschool, they got in a wreck. So I was like, oh, dang, you was 4 years old, signed up to preschool, and when y'all was leaving, y'all got in a wreck, and that's how you knew you was going to be great? He was like, no. But I'm just telling you my attitude towards life ever since then. So I was like, okay, and yeah, so he just keeps on talking, rumbling on. There's no interruptions going on. So he said, whenever they got in the wreck, they were in the old school, old gray Caprice Classic with maroon seats, interior, Dankies on the wheel. And when I say, he said that his uncle had beats that could beat up the block. Every time he would come up the block, the pictures would just rattle. So I was like, so because your uncle drove a nice car. That's how you knew you would be great. And he was like, no, man, just listen to me. He said, whenever we got in that wreck, we went into the hospital. When we went into that hospital, my mom was extremely hurt. My uncle, I did not see my uncle until a few months later. Don't really know what happened with him. But it was the value of life. No matter what I've done, he said that I could breathe. I was given the opportunity of life. So this is a four-year-old thinking like that. So I was really intrigued. I was like, man, so you was 4 years old and you understood life? He was like, yeah, man, I understood life. I put out my hand. I wanted to know why I bend. I put out my leg. I wanted to know how I was able to walk. I put my hand in front of my mouth and was like, what is that coming out of my mouth? That is air. I was so intrigued on how I was just able to breathe. So no matter what I've done, no matter what I did to that point, because I'll tell you one thing, after that preschool, there was somebody who was signed up the same day as him who they ended up being good friends. And that's crazy because once you really sit back and understand why some things have happened or why you feel a certain way that you do, why or whenever you come home, there's nothing in the food. There's no food in the microwave. There's no food in the icebox. He was like, so whenever I turned 8 years old, man, I knew I was going to be something great. You want to know why? Every Sunday, I would wake up and watch the Dallas Cowboys. I would watch Emmitt Smith, I would watch Troy Aikman, and I would watch Michael Irvin. And those guys were just great. And then I reached the second grade. My mama took me to go see my cousin whenever he Paul Young football league back in the Skokie, Oklahoma. See my cousin play, and I remember he had like a bad game. And then last time mama could I play. Changed my life, and definitely. So I was like, dang, so you knew you were going to be great. You found out about life when you were 4 years old after signing up for preschool. It's just because I was like, so I'm kind of losing it here. So then he was like, well, let me break this down to you, Pete. And we kind of, it threw me off because usually I'm the one speaking like this, right? But he was like, well, let me break this down to you, Pete. He goes, some people who talk bad about you in a negative way, some people retaliate, right? I was like, right. And he was like, where I'm from, people talk about, people call that hating where I'm from. People talk bad about it. People say you ain't going to do this. People say you're going to end up just like your uncle who was a big old drug dealer. People say you're going to be just like your daddy, even though your daddy ain't even really a bad person. People talk about you in every single kind of way. But he said, instead of retaliating, you want to know what I told him? I said, what you tell him, man? He said, move out the way. I said, I was like, I got it. He was like, yeah, simply just tell him to move out the way. And that's all today, Monday, it's all move out the way Monday. No matter what you're going through, no matter if your significant other's getting on your nerves, no matter whether your boss is getting on your nerves, no matter if your mama ain't getting you that Christmas gift that you thought you wanted or that you thought you deserved, no matter what it is that you're going through, tell them just to say, move out the way. You trying to get a new job? You sitting up there getting some filling out applications, getting ready for 2015, but then you get an email back saying thanks for your time, but you're not the one, the applicant that we're wanting to get. Tell it, move out the way. Your mama telling you that your mama telling you I'm gonna get you a PS3 instead of a PS4. Say, okay, move out the way. That just means I'm about to work and save up my own money to get what I want. No matter what you've been through, make about making your dreams come true. So no matter something negative coming your way, tell it simply, move out the way. Because you got something that you want to be to. It don't matter if you're trying to go talk on the phone or trying to go talk to this girl or you're trying to get your outfit right to go get some swag. Regardless of what you're trying to do, if it's something positive and something's going to benefit from it, then simply just tell whoever telling you what you can't do to move out the way. Move out the way. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. And if you're just tuning in, my name is P. Richardson, the owner and self-creator of Saving Athletes, respectfully coming to you on the Blog Talk Network. And we brought you the weather. Well, my fiance, Mr. Friend, you next? Soon to be Sabrina Richardson. But just like I was saying, move out the way. Move out the way. No matter what you've done or what you've been through, life's about making your dreams come true. So as I keep talking to this guy who told me that he knew he was going to be great by the time that he was 8. So I was like, well, tell me a little bit, like, you got the beauty about life. Whenever he was 4 years old, you were so infatuated on how the body works. Okay, I get that point. So just tell me, how did you get through if you didn't grow up in, like, a home that was very normal, as I could say? He said, man, I'm going to tell you how I got it through. Just by telling other people to move out the way, it was just my faith. Because without my faith, I couldn't tell people to move out the way. Because whenever I was in high school, it was times where I didn't eat. It was times where I didn't sleep. It was times where I was playing a football game 2 days later. I ain't got nothing to eat, but everybody's looking at me. Everybody's looking at me like I'm this all-American, this all-star who got it made. But ultimately, whenever I was on that field, it was the most peaceful time of my life. I knew I was going to get some water, and I knew before the game that I was going to eat. But all the way up to that point, since whenever he knew that he was 8 years old, he knew he would get to that point. He knew he would have a platform, and that's why he could think, now I can put in a reference to where he could finish the school. No matter what he's done, he always stayed popular. Instead of going out and go get a job when he was 16, he stayed in the sport. Instead of going out and hitting the block when he was 17, he stayed in the sport. Instead of going out and having babies when he was 18, he stayed in the sport. And then when he was 18 years old, he ended up starting that scholarship and made a big impact on his family and was one of the first three people from family to go to a major D1 school, and especially the only one in his family to accomplish the things that he's accomplished. So I had to break it down to him because I told him about my radio show, and I told him I wasn't going to try to exploit his story to let other people know, but I was just, you know what, other people out here need to hear this story, because some people, everybody's story ain't the same. Everybody don't go to high school, and everybody don't play sports in high school. Everybody who make it to the NFL or NBA don't play sports in college. Well, let me break it down to you. There was another guy. Everybody knew he was an athletic dude. He was cold in basketball. Cold. So the first 2 years, everybody knew he was going to start at. Everybody knew he was going to start on varsity as a freshman. End up getting filling. Sophomore year, ended up doing starting out real good. Midpoint of the season, they finished because his grades dropped. So then, okay, and then they ultimately banned him from playing sports. Banned him. Couldn't play no more. This was his dream. To get his mama out of the hood by playing basketball. But the dude can't keep his grades up. So then the school has failed. So what do you do when adversity hits? Adversity introduces a man to himself. And that reminds me, this guy was only 15, 16 years old, getting kicked up out of high school only because of his own actions and not performing in the classroom. But later on that same year, his mom died from cancer. Boom! So not only is he being expelled from not being able to play basketball, but now his mom died at 16 years old? And this dude's mom was so fortunate that like they didn't grow up rich, but they grew up rich with love. So and he said sometimes there'll be 16 to 13 people in a 3-bedroom apartment because some of his friends would get into it with their parents, and then they would come to his house, and of course their mom would let them in, but before they could play or whatnot, she would have a one-on-one time with them. So this is the type of person that who his mom was. So whenever he finally got up 15, 16 years old, and then she died, that hit him. Boom. So not only did she die, but he also lost the sport that he loved that was going to get him out of the hood. But then, long story short, this dude did not play at all after his sophomore year, junior, and senior. And majority thinking, and also majority speaking, you think if you don't play in high school, how are you going to play in college? But this guy ended up going to the NBA. Let me tell you how he got there. He got there by just simply doing what's right. I mean, I could say something way, way more extravagant than that, but to keep it simplified, that is basically what happened. Because this is how you turn something negative into something positive. Now, so whenever he got kicked off and expelled from the team, that he couldn't play no more his sophomore year, then his mom died. So when his mom died, he just disappeared. He said he didn't know what happened for a whole 3 months. So what he did, he found himself in this little basement in this firefighter's basement where there was a wood goal. So nobody went. Nobody this place but the firefighters, but all of a sudden, this is where this guy, after his mom died, after being expelled from school, found himself in a little basement with this little wood goal, just playing basketball. Started off playing against the firefighters. Then little bitty people start showing up here and there. Little people start showing up here and there. Next thing you know, the whole town is there. Turning the negative into a positive. Mom died, got kicked off the team. Mom died, found himself in this small little basement at a firefighter's establishment and ended up playing against the firefighters and playing against them. I guess the word got out. So this guy drew so much of a crowd that junior colleges started going. Once junior colleges started going, that's how you can go to school. That's how you go to college without performing in high school. Sometimes you do it without even knowing it. But let me finish my story. Long story short, dude ended up getting a scholarship But whatever he Let me tell you about the recruiter. The recruiter, whenever the recruiter got hold to the college and was like, yo, I think I got some talent. And the dude was like, where did he play high school at? He was like, well, he did it. But they still gave him a chance. They still believed him. Just like I say, no matter what you have done, what you have been, it's about making your dreams come true. It's crazy how God works. It's crazy how the universe works. No matter how bad things get, as long as you try to stay positive, as long as you keep doing what's right, you're going to be all right. Sometimes you got to get through the dark to get to the light. You cannot see the stars without the dark. But anyway, back to my story. All right, his freshman year in college. Well, first, I was telling Steve about how he ended up still getting a scholarship to go play basketball. How people play their whole life the right way and still don't get a junior scholarship. But anyway, this guy played his freshman year at the junior college. Then the next year, played and he wanted to be closer to home, so he came back to Texas. Then this guy played a year there. And then after that, he caught the air of University of Maryland. When he got to University of Maryland, everything just soared ever since then. Played a year at University of Maryland. And then after that, he ended up getting drafted by the Vancouver Grizzlies. Vancouver Grizzlies didn't want to be there. So then after that, he ended up going to the Houston Rockets. And then when he was in Rockets, he went to the Orlando Magic. But why he was with the Houston Rockets, playing with y'all, man, playing with the team of Ajuan, man, the guy was the face of the team. And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, talk about Steve Francis. And if you guys think I'm alive, you guys think I'm a joke, then go look it up yourself and go think about his story. Because this guy right here beats the eye. Definition of soul. No matter what you've done or what you've been through, life's about making your change come true. So no matter what you're going through, it's going to be all right, no matter what it is. If your mom was to pass, if your dad was to pass, your significant other was to pass, everything's going to be all right. You just got to look at it a positive way and always keep your faith. And whatever you go through today, tell them, move out the way. It's just like that. Pete Richardson, the owner of Soul Creator, Saving Athletes, respectfully coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio. Tomorrow, I do got Monique Small. She's an All-American, former Texas Tech guard. She actually just got back from overseas playing professional. And that's who I'm going to have on my show. Sorry for the guy who was trying to listen to Ed Ward today. I guess he got caught up in some business, so he wasn't able to call. But I promise you to get him on. Probably won't be the end of this year, but it'll be probably the beginning of next year. So you guys still look forward for that. Once again, Pete Richardson, owner of Soul Entertainment. I please respect for that. I can't let you go by listening to I Came to Win. Yeah, that's right. That's my theme song. Nicki Minaj featuring Rihanna. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Different sword day, same sword time, 11 a.m. Peace.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer, to thrive. I came to win, to fight, to prosper, to rise, to fly.
Get ready for it. I'm getting ready.